Previously on Imagine Dungeons,
you can see that glowing in his throat is the glyph that you have on your wrist.
Wow. Davey, this is unbelievable.
Sue, the creature you called on that day against Vance, how did you call on that?
Do you remember that ring?
Good news about your dad. We found him. Here's the deal, Snaps. He needs a little bit of medical attention, okay? But I've got every confidence in the world from all the brains that are way smarter than me that he's going to be all right.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I don't want to die today. Let's say we cut a deal.
Anywhere we encounter Oilsworn, leave us alone.
Okay.
Okay, well, as the party makes their way back to the hull in the wall, it is nighttime. It is currently 4 days until your match with the giant.
Whew.
And you can tell because halflings around the city are starting to build, like, promo for the event.
Oh, cool.
We got posters?
There's some posters. Who are the people who collect bets?
Bookies.
There are some bookies like collecting people on the street.
Cool.
If you overhear the discussion, it does not look to be in your favor by just like the normal people on the street.
Just how I like it.
Well, I guess they didn't listen to season one then.
Mm-hmm. And that's on them.
That's their fault. It's free. Dude. It's free on iTunes and Spotify and Overcast.
They're already listening. 5 stars. If they're listening right now.
Would be crazy if this was somebody's first episode, huh?
It feels like my first episode. It's been a while.
It feels like mine, too.
I think the frat party episode should bring people in.
Yeah.
Another thing you see is that there is a group of halflings protesting outside of one of the plateau buildings. They're holding signs that say things like, down with OQ. Signs like the Talenta Plains are for the Talentans.
Don't love that.
Don't steal our culture. Dinosaurs are not for war. Things such as this. Does anybody interact with the protesters, or are you like about to die trying to go to sleep?
Do we know what OQ is?
Glint, you would not, but one of the people I think have drawn the face of somebody that I think you would recognize, and that person is named Merity Bramblecrank, who, when you lived here, this would have been like an up-and-coming, rising inventor in Gatherhold, who specifically specialized in things like Warforged and magical items.
And I'm to assume these protesters are anti-Bramblecrank?
Yeah, it's like her head is in like a circle and there's like the red cross on it. Or the red X.
Uh-oh, a Ghostbuster. She got Ghostbuster, turned into a Ghostbuster sign.
Exactly.
How do I feel about that? I mean, obviously Glint, I think when he lived in the city, was a budding inventor. Was Bramblecrank, is it kind of like a uh-oh, fall from grace type of thing with Bramblecrank?
Dr. Frankenstein situation?
Based on the conversations you hear, just people yelling and shouting about here, I think you would gather that it's possible, but it's more so that Merity has been using her brilliance to profit at the expense of the, like, tribal lifestyle of most of the Talenta halflings.
Okay, yeah. I think Glint's going to see that and kind of shake his head under his breath. He's gonna say,
a brilliant mind gone to waste. What good is knowledge if it doesn't lead to greater empathy, right, Fiddles?
I got this. And I think Fiddles is going to shuffle walk over and just like yank on the sleeve of the closest protester and just kind of up to him. Just
try to take the temperature of sort of this whole situation. How do you feel about the poor, taking care of the poor, the needy, the foreigner, and those with lifestyles different to your own?
I think 5'9" human man turns towards you and is like,
"Hell yeah, representation in here. Thank you. Love seeing these humans.
Not enough
humans in our
here.
Story."
Mm-hmm. And Phil's is like, "What is
gross,
that?
Gross.
What's this
Don't
guy?
Look at it."
A guy turns to you and is like, "Well, I mean, this is all about basically going down on the rich. They came in here and stole some of ours, some of our stuff." This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's like,
yeah, I'm picking
he got
that
like
up.
Swept up into the frenzy.
I'm picking that up.
All right, not you. Excuse me, protesters.
Gage, roll up a different guy real quick. Roll up a different guy.
I think one person comes up to you. This person probably organized it. They have like sparkling stones on their shoulders, kind of signifying like this is a organizer.
Yeah, like how organizers do.
Typically it's a vest, but vests don't exist.
Right.
So
it's a vest of stones.
There's
vests
no vests
don't
here.
Exist.
There's okay. No vests here. What a stance.
Are you kidding?
I mean like the traffic ones, the sure. like bright yeah. orange. Yeah, yeah.
We've thought of shirts, but we just can't conceptualize what would happen if you cut the
what
arms off in
of
a big
part?
Slit in the middle.
Yeah. I turn towards you and is like, hey, are you looking to join up?
Oh, whoa, easy, Tiger.
They're like holding a sign, handing a sign to you.
Yeah, Fiddles puts her hands up like, oh, not going to touch it.
Easy, Tiger. Just trying to figure out what's sort of the general deal. What's happening here?
Well, if you're new to town, you might be surprised to see that our elected officials and including our local geniuses have been selling out our whole country for the sake of better objects of war and a more, they would say, unified Talenta, but what that has led to is a little bit of a death of culture.
Fiddle's eyes squint. She's picking up on tones that she doesn't love. And I think Fiddles would say,
cool, man, cool. That's very cool. And with that death of culture, would that culture that you're sort of striving for be open to foreigners, those of different lifestyles, and taking care of the needy and the poor?
Definitely taking care of the needy and the poor. I think the problem that we face is that we are not a historical power of war. And so whenever certain foreigners come here, they come here to do things like kill our dinosaurs and exploit tribes for the sake of generating more money. You know, like, I'm sure you saw recent rich guy showed up here, new councilman. Sure, he's extending hands to help people, but all he really wants to do is make a quick buck, and he's going to sell us out to the first buyer.
I do hate rich guy.
She's clearly referring to your father.
Oh, no, I got it. I got it.
I do hate rich guy. I will say that. Look, I don't want a sign just because, you know, gross, don't want to touch whatever sort of your whole thing is without really doing some real research and looking deep inside myself to see what my stances are. But thank you for keeping things so gray and not helping me make a decision in any direction at all. Goodbye now.
She is a little bit confused, but is like, you know, whatever. And she just kind of rejoins the crowd.
I couldn't figure anything out. They don't like war, but they also don't seem to like people not from here. So,
well, okay. That's rat confusing, I would say.
I'm glad you tried, though.
Can everybody make a history check for me?
Sure.
First roll in so long.
At least it's a cool one. 15 for Fiddles. Shocking everyone.
25.
Shocking no one.
Two bomb.
Glint, for sure.
17?
13 Glint, for Sue.
I think you'd be the most aware of this, probably because you grew up in Gatherhold as a half-elf. Sure. One of the hot-button topics in Gatherhold is that before the last war, the Talenta Plains was owned by Corvair, which is a combination of the five biggest countries in Eberron. And as time progressed, the inclusion of other countries' cultures began to suffocate the like historical tribal cultures of the Talentan tribes. And so that has caused some tension over the last 100 years about, you know, like the different tribes' loss of land and ability to self-govern, so on and so forth. And so that's why they can be a little bit hostile to foreigners who are not there in good faith. But of course, it's hard to determine who is and who isn't.
Sure. Yeah. A problem that I, a straight white guy, feel equipped to solve.
You are aware of this. Straight white, half elf.
Sure, yeah.
Just classic.
It's a bit of a nuanced situation here.
Not my forte.
Nuance is not something, it's something that I enjoy in concept, but often does, is not really our forte when it comes to execution. As a group, nuance isn't so much in our wheelhouse. So what if we went back to the hole in the wall? Thought long and hard about what we've seen here today and done the work in our hearts and just sort of approached life with like a everybody be chill to everybody, no one's better or worse than anyone else kind of vibe.
Yeah, honk shoe, pal.
Let's go to bed.
You really turn and somebody has a sign with exactly with what you said. Raise above their head.
So many words is tiny.
I think that's called centrism.
Really makes a mental note to talk to the Podfather and understand their stance on all of this the next time and see. Like Ridley's position on this is like largely free enterprise is really good. This is not Vince. This is, as a businessman, he's like, man, that's pretty great. But then he hears about like the oppression of people and he's not like a huge war guy. And so he's like, I don't love like his passion for business breaks down at some point, but he is curious like where there is leverage in the system. And if there is leverage, the Podfather would know about it.
Not a huge war guy. And you do have a trident and a glaive.
that's just guys talking. Yeah. I just gotta talk to him.
I do imagine this whole time, because Donnie is for protest. I mean, as an artist, I think he's down for people to just, if they have opinions, they can say what they want. So for a few of them, he's trying to get them on beat because they seem to be off with their chanting. Throws in a rhyme or two. He's like, maybe you should do this. And then, you know, overall, he's, I don't know if Donnie would ever consider himself a war vet, but I think he literally is. And so it's interesting. I think it's interesting that this comes up at this time when he's kind of like in between identities.
Sure. As you guys continue, you eventually make your way back to the hole in the wall. The Azers are in there cooking up a meal. And the innkeeper mentions to you that somebody stopped by and left packages for each of you.
Hmm. Are these suspicious packages?
Like Santa Claus in Narnia?
They're in like a wooden crate and each have like a ribbon tied with your name on them.
We got secret admirers, y'all.
Let's go.
Get get in line.
Open crate. Donnie's reaching over Fiddles to open the crate.
I imagine I'm right that here. Thing where you're like at the waist teetering like down into the box, legs up, her legs are just like a buff.
Donnie, grab mine.
As you guys open your packages, you found that they are customized jerseys for you to sport around the city over your armor.
Let's go.
The one day I decide to do standing desk again, I can't even stand up straight.
It says big at the front, Wed Sox, and then on the back has your name. Of course, on one shoulder, it does say the Fontina Marina.
Believe,
and
yeah.
On the other, it says Seaweeds, which is the tavern that the Podfather operates out of.
Amazing.
Cool.
That in the merch shop ASAP.
Cool.
Does anybody want to do something before they head off to bed?
Does it come in long sleeve?
Like a sun
shirt? I'm just worried. Yeah, I'm worried. I think
these
about
these are all vests. It's kind of strange.
Burning.
Some UPF 50 fabric.
You poor fella. Is that what this for?
Yes.
Leadhead walks down the stairs, and he's wearing his jersey.
Yeah, he is.
It's like, oh, actually, I think this one might fit you, Glint. And it's like a under compression shirt.
Oh, good, great. That's perfect. Thank you, Leadhead.
Does Leadhead say Captain on it?
It sure does.
Yes.
There we go.
Got a little Captain armband or something. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. The sleeve band. That's good. That's okay, so anything before you head off to sleep?
I like to think that at this point, it's routine. I think as Donnie's walking to head to bed, the big stein of beer is sliding to like meet him at even same pace. I think him and the bartender have done this enough that he knows to reach his hand out and catch it right before it falls off the end of the bar, and he takes it to bed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah. Fiddle sits for a pint real quick. Just pulls up at the bar.
What's our high C reserves looking like at the bar?
High C's looking good.
I'm going to settle down for a pint of high C.
All right. This is non-Gold Dragon Inn, so they do have high C. High C is not an approved beverage from the Mark of Hospitality Halflings.
I want to say Sooth fought for it to be included on the list, though.
and I do appreciate that, Sue. Your tireless advocacy is a type of political action I can get behind.
I just lost all my words. I'm going to try that again. It's hard being back, y'all. You know, I've always got my eye on you. We'll make it happen.
As you guys settle down to your last drink, I think you just overhear the normal news of the town, including that a bunch of airships recently landed in Gatherhold for some sort of global meeting happening.
A conclave.
Exactly. But if
choosing a new pope.
If nobody has anything, then you're good to go ahead and head to your long rest.
Night-night time.
Lovely. Finally.
Sleep, sleep.
He's so sleepy.
As you head to sleep, I'd like everybody to make a perception check.
Oh, while I can't. I'm asleep. I'm asleep. I can't.
Sorry. Don't know how.
Sorry, dude.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. That's a 16 for Sue. 13 plus 3.
17 for Don.
4 plus 3, 7. Glint's deep asleep.
5 plus 4, 9 for Ridley.
That is a 2 minus 1 for Fiddles.
Oh, no.
Fiddles is lost in her CPAP machine.
Oh, it is a 16.
It's just got bellows.
Davey's in there pumping air into your lungs.
Donnie, upon heading to your room, you would notice that somebody has been looking through your stuff. It is almost completely neatly put back, but I think maybe a drawer being left open, and you seeing that your stuff has clearly been rifled through would tip you off to this.
You would hear the sound of strings, taut strings, as Donnie's looking around, rubbing his fingers together. to cue up a bolt of flame. And he's kind of looking around. And only perceiving that someone's in, that someone has been in here, so there's no one in here now?
Correct.
Okay. Want to investigate and see if anything's missing, specifically like the drawer.
Yeah, make an investigation check.
Nine.
Yeah, I think you would get the impression that nothing is missing. Your like extra loot strings are there. All of your weapons and artifacts are there. All the pieces of tin buoy, including the leg that you just salvaged, are all present.
Thank God.
That's why my notes have the sentence, a perfect right leg. I couldn't figure out why I wrote that down.
Couldn't have been the snakes. I have a leg. Do you think Donnie the first one to bed? Is that why we hit him first, or was it because of the roll?
It was because of the roll. You happen to passively notice this.
I think at this point, he's not tired enough to not check on everyone else and like the rooms.
Sure. As you alert everybody, and I'm sure people look around,
you'd notice. Whistle.
I think everybody, upon taking a second, third look, would notice that everybody's stuff has been gone through.
No.
Even mine?
Everybody's.
What?
Now, something ain't right here.
Okay, so I guess I'd check my stuff. Do we all check our stuff?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We could get some investigation checks.
Yeah.
I'm bad at that one, though, Gage.
I got an 18 on mine.
I got a 3 minus 2, 1.
13 for fiddle.
So he's like, no, I threw all my stuff on the floor.
Sue's very messy. It's very hard to tell what's missing.
Flat 19 for Ridley.
Oh, nice.
Glint, Ridley, I think... you know what? I think everybody notices nothing is missing. And with such high rolls from Ridley and Vittles, I think you might be able to tell that somebody was looking for something or for information, but did not take anything.
Okay.
Glint is, like, comparing his clothes against his packing list that he made before they got off. And so he's like, check, okay. The shirt, okay. And this shirt, and that shirt. Okay, and the breeches. Okay, I don't think anything's missing. I'm not sure why they felt the need to frankly desecrate the system by which I have organized all of my belongings. But they didn't take anything.
Is there someone we could ask about maybe who's come through while we've been out? Who's remind me, what is the... I'm so usually so good with names, but my brain's been on the fritz a little. Remind me who's in charge of this establishment again?
The barkeep tonight, his name is Clint.
And is Clint usually the one who's here?
Clint's here mostly every single day.
Okay, but there's not like an owner or something?
Who? There is his an owner. The owner,
Clint
owner
Wood
doesn't
Pistol
work
Whip.
Here.
Okay. Hey, Donnie, you're real close with Clint. You want to go?
Yeah, I'll head on down
just,
there.
I got it.
Let me go talk to him.
You want to go check in with him?
Yeah, I need to be a little topper here anyway, so. Donnie heads down. Clint, Brother C,
yes.
I got a question for you here.
Hey, Donnie.
No, Clint. Sorry, Glint.
Oh.
Clint with a C. Hard C there.
I'm going to hang out with my friend Connie, so great.
That's fine.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, man. I don't know if I've seen you talk to a girl.
It's short for Connor. I don't.
And not that that means anything. What'd you say, Gage?
Hey, Donnie.
Oh, that's Clint.
That's Clint.
It's been a
while.
We played that I forget that you can be other people.
Hey, Clint, I was just wondering if you see anybody head up in our direction of the rooms that might not have been staying there. Someone you've seen before. We were looking at our rooms, and it seems like people kind of went through everything. We can't really figure this out, and I'm sure I'll be able to sleep fine, but my buddy Glenn, I got a feeling he's going to be a little anxious, so I got to give him some kind of answer here.
Trying to think. Nobody went up the stairs tonight since since little snaps went up there. But he's the only other one who's been up the stairs. Nobody else is staying here.
Little Snaps, huh?
Yep, the little turtle yep. guy.
Oh, yeah. Everybody double check your weed stash.
So
eats a lot.
Right, right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. You said you know how long he might have been up there? He didn't come out with anything he didn't walk up with?
No. You know, the other day he was wearing a lot of jewelry, and then he wasn't. And then he was again today.
Huh. All right. Would you say you've ever seen anyone else around here be as interested in jewelry as Snaps recently?
Nah, not since that other turtle brought y'all some kind of offer.
All right. Well, okay. It's starting to work. Work together here. Thank you very much, Clint. Appreciate you, man.
Oh, and I'll keep my eye out.
You taught me off here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And Donnie is giving, like, I think most of his money goes to, like, street performers and bartenders. I think he's giving so much. I don't think he cares. He's just throwing so much money at Clint. I think he did before he even
it's
refilled
like $20
his
cup.
And then he did it again. Yeah. Donnie wants to go talk to Ridley, if Ridley's available.
Hey.
Hey, Rid, you got a little time here? I know it's been a long day, but, you know, I just went down and, excuse me, guys, I'm going to talk to Ridley first, if that's okay. Just us. Thank you. I was talking to Clint, and it seems that it's been Snaps. It's been up in everybody's rooms up here.
Oh, no.
And honestly, from what Clint was saying, it kind of sounds like he's lifting, brother. Was he ever a pickpocket type, little crafty dodger kind of turtle?
No, not really. I mean, not really. But hang tight. I mean, not the. I know you and Clint are basically like brothers at this point, but
yeah,
right. Not to cast aspersions, but nothing's missing, right?
Right. He said nothing was different about when he came up to look in our rooms, but there had been nights before that Snaps went up there and came out with jewelry on. And he said that hadn't been happening ever since he started working with old Pod Daddy.
Mm. Okay.
I just thought, I'm not looking for, you know, solving anything. No. I just thought, you know, as family, you'd probably want to know first. Like, if anything happened to Clint, I would want to know. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's the same.
Kind of the same thing there. But, yeah, if you need me to talk to him, too, I had plenty of friends that got into that kind of business, and I would never want to use scare tactics on old Snaps. I don't think that works on him, but I'm happy to help a little bit if you have to have a conversation.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Let's let's go see if he's in.
Can we go
see? Walk.
I forgot we have to narrate everything we're doing. Barrel, yeah.
Barrel, I think barrel. When you knock
on, so it was.
When you knock on Snap's door, you can hear like really loud, obnoxious snoring coming from the other side of the door.
What's it sound like? Thank you. Yeah.
Sounds like you got a bug.
It. Okay, yeah. Now yeah. Now I'm good. Transported. Now I'm not even there. Here in the real world.
Somebody
I'm
make
in
tavern
Eberron.
Music. Somebody this little banjo kazooie tavern yeah. music for
well,
you.
Well, I sounded like Dominic the Christmas donkey, but that's fine too.
Are you going in?
Yeah, I'm going in.
Snaps like suddenly wakes up. He was clearly faking it.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Ridley, how you doing?
What's up with the jewelry?
he still has like a diamond necklace on.
Donnie's can Donnie do an investigation while necklace? Ridley's talking to him? Can I look at Snaps?
Yeah. Go roll for it. Well, I know you said that accepting gifts from the Podfather was bad, but...
There's a 50% chance I'm gonna find something, so you just keep talking.
When I looked through all your stuff, I didn't see any money, and it costs money to hire a cleric to heal Pops.
Yeah, okay, so couple things. Are you accepting gifts from the Podfather? Yes or no?
Well, it was yes, and then it was no. I gave it back. And but then now it's he today. Did say, how are you going to heal your dad? And I said, oops, all out of cash. And so then I did accept gifts again.
Okay, so we're on a yes. We're on a yes right now.
Yeah.
And then number two, you searched everybody's room for cash.
Yeah.
Okay. And then number three, you didn't think to talk to anybody else about this.
Well, Leadhead said he saw you guys at the library and said you guys were going to a party. And I thought, well, I can't go to the party because you guys would be upset with me. And so I figured it would be fine if I... Look, you guys haven't spent money on anything. Not that I've been around.
So we have money to give you to spend on your father.
Right, so that's why I went and looked for it, and it wasn't there.
Listen to Sue through the wall.
This is like Mom Mariah coming
out.
Yes,
exactly.
Sue has like a tankard to the wall.
Yeah, 100%. Has a pint glass up to the wall in their room.
What is he even saying?
Okay, so you thought that you shouldn't go to the party?
Yeah, I thought. Well, it seemed like you guys were on a mission. You don't seem like the type to go to a party just to have fun, except fiddles.
Stop. Well,
I need you to stop on the second word. You don't think. Snaps think no, bad, wrong. Every time that you have the idea, I need you to probably do the opposite. Actually, it's not do the opposite. It's actually ask a grown-up that is here. And fiddles. You can ask her to.
Okay, Uncle Ridley.
Listen, kiddo. I want what you want. I want to heal your dad. I do. It's really important to me. So does Donnie. So does everybody. But stealing money is not how we're going to do that. Getting indebted to a literal mafia boss is not how we're going to do it.
Yeah, it's not good.
So when I say that I don't want you to take gifts, it's not because I don't like Christmas. It's because maybe Ridley thought there's a few other layers here to be considered.
Okay. I will stop accepting gifts from the Podfather.
And?
There is another one coming tomorrow that I'm going to have to handle. I will send it back with all of this stuff.
Okay.
And I say, lose the address, pal.
That's just
and
like I taught you.
Also, I'm sorry for looking through everybody's stuff.
Yeah, tomorrow.
I'll ask next time.
Yes. Well, you're going to ask them. You ask them to look through their own stuff. But you were on the green. I'll give you that one. That's a gimme, bud. Hey, listen, kiddo. I love you. And I'm proud of what you're doing. And I'm glad that you're here. But we got to do it a different way.
Okay. Well, I love you too, Uncle Ridd.
Hey, tomorrow, I want you to apologize to everybody. Let them sleep now, but you're going to look them in the eye, like I taught you, and you're going to say you're sorry.
Okay.
And then, last thing. It sounds like you did some research on the cleric thing. I actually really appreciate that. What's the cost? Do you have eyes on somebody that could help?
Yeah, I talked to a cleric at the Temple of Talenta. She said... She hadn't seen it before, but to get rid of a curse that strong, she would need a diamond that's worth like 1,000 gold.
Oof.
And so I just thought it would be easier to accept a gift to pay for it than to ask. But I do hear your point, and I guess we'll talk about it whenever it's time.
I love that Snaps thought we'd have a diamond worth 1,000 gold just like chilling in our suitcases.
In my underwear drawer.
Ridley is like, that's like 10 boats. He's starting to do the math.
Trying
like,
to sail.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Okay. How much gold do we have as a party?
I think like 4 or 5.
I forgot.
I have no idea.
Millions at least, yeah.
At the beginning of our campaign, I did keep track. I do not know now.
I think I did the gold dupe last run. And so I think I
got. Oh, yeah.
The last time you guys got money, I know, was from the fight at the Colosseum, and the party got a collective 1,000 gold.
I mean, what else do we need money for? Are we paying this in?
Oh no, our sponsors put us up, right?
Podfather said he'd be willing to pay for any expenses.
Dang, man.
I do think Donnie spent about $4,000 on drinks.
I did. Sounds like
that's true. Clint's pants are falling down because his pockets are so full of gold.
It's just, yeah, our tab is just beer, beer, cleric, wine, beer.
Stop spending so much money on candles.
You didn't find anything in the investigation.
Great.
I mean, you found a lot of stuff. But
found a lot of stuff. I would say, I think also he found… Does Snaps always wear his hat or no?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. I think maybe
he
Donnie
rotates. There's a couple other different hats he'll wear.
I think Donnie's going to take one of them and put it at the top of his head, try and lighten the mood a little bit. Clearly, probably doesn't fit even close. And crosses his eyes and gets down on his knees to look Snaps in the face, and he says, "You can apologize to me right now."
I can't apologize until I wear my suit and tie. So.
Oh, you hear Sue audibly awe through the wall.
Donnie takes his hat off, bows, puts another hat on Snap's head, and he's like, deal. And he walks out.
Ridley follows Donnie out, but he grabs Donnie and he's like, hey, real talk though, we might want to ask the Podfather for a gift.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. You got a
1,000 gold.
Yeah, you got a good nephew there too to give that stuff back. This totally flipped on its head. I thought we were about to have to, you know, take him to juvie or something, but turns out he's a good kid. But yeah, 1,000 gold is going
to
be
just
tough.
Connected to the mafia.
Just connected to the mafia. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. He's got good in him, though. We'll figure
how
it
gangs
out.
Work.
Turns out if it goes south in this town, we can't come to this hemisphere again.
Yeah. We'll finish.
Hey, y'all. Mariah here. Thank you so much for joining us again for season 2. We're really glad you're back. We've got lots of funny times, silly times, hopefully some tender moments. If you are enjoying the show at all, please rate us, review us, and send it to someone that you love. We would love for them to join us as well. Thanks for being here.
Okay. Well, then, everybody settles tucked in for a long rest. Let's have everybody roll a D100. See who goes first on the level up that's about to happen.
85.
84.
91.
Wow. 41.
81.
Okay.
Golf scores.
Doge, if you had rolled a 43
please
right
don't
now.
Do.
Are you kidding me?
Golf scores. Mariah wants to go first so bad.
I don't. I really don't. Please don't make me go first.
Okay. Donnie, as you go to sleep, why don't you walk me through your level up?
Just like the process of it?
Or let's walk through what do you dream about tonight?
Yes. So I think Donnie goes to sleep, and as he's falling asleep, he's listening to one of the chants against war that they had just walked by. Throwing lives in danger is unfair. We're just here to save Corvair. Whatever it was that they were just chanting. And as that's happening, it's kind of juxtaposed with a dream that he's having. It would have been several years after a dream that he had. Just, I guess it would be days ago, of right before he was given the opportunity to
behead a war leader with his own battle axe as a child. And he's carrying that battle axe now, and he is running through the demon wastes, and he's still hearing that chant a little bit, and it starts to get overwhelming just to drum beats, and can't really tell the difference between his heart and the drum, and he's running through, and part of it feels good. He's navigating through swarms of foe, taking them out with a blow or two, and then he sees far off that he's getting closer and closer to the crag, and his heart rate is going faster and the beat is going faster, and he gives a big swing to a fiend that's even bigger than him, and it goes into its chest, and because of the carapace he can't rip it out, and so he gets a little frustrated and reaches to his neck, and then all of a sudden Donnie is towering over everyone around him even more, maybe some 20 feet, and then he looks down and he rips the axe out of the fiend's chest as it falls limp to the ground and throws it about 50 feet straight at the big fiend crawling out of the crag that clearly looks like the granddaddy of them all. And it doesn't really affect that fiend at all. So he starts to lumber over at a breakneck speed and jumps into the air, what feels like hundreds of yards away, rearing back his fist, going to punch this fiend and meet its fist with his huge, muscly, furry, hammy fist. And then he wakes up and he thinks of Jody in his mind. And the thing that he hears in his head is, but you already knew that, didn't you? And he's remembering going back. He's back now at her compound with all the animals everywhere. And he sees these smaller apes in a cage. And he's clearly just been staring at them with a pretty strange level of empathy. And Jody inquires, and Donnie starts to ask about their movements. And she starts to answer him, I think, but then says that same thing that he heard as soon as he woke up. Because she looks at him and says, you already knew that though, didn't you? And Donnie now can polymorph.
Wow.
This is something cool that would have been something he had access to a long time ago. That was something that was gifted him in the certain kind of rank that he would have in this army to fight essentially against hell. And the last time that he ever did polymorph was that moment that maimed him, that scarred his body and beat up half of his body, that all the scars run up, you know, from his fingers to his back. And he kind of goes back to the drawing board a little bit more inspired. And the music that he was trying to put together that he didn't really have access to. Essentially, before Gage and I had a good conversation about this, we imagined that this would have been something that would have been like an amulet that would have given him access to this as being a member of this high-ranking member of this army. But it broke on that punch. And that kind of had been Donnie's lesson to like never do this again, because it's also a part of him that is like, there's a bit of the thrill of war that he doesn't like. And so, but now getting back into these battles, I think there's a part of him that wants some of that temporary HP. And it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to access it, but I think he wants to know how, and he doesn't have that amulet anymore. So he, as a bard now, is trying a way to conjure that up. And I think tonight is the night that he knew he could. And he's kind of taking that same beat that he heard in his dream and building off of that.
All right. Fiddles.
Yeah.
I think at some point, like you have been doing the last couple of days, you go to visit Nandi.
Well, I think Fiddles has started taking her long rests in the statue, like in the action figure with Nandi, mm-hmm. basically like sleepover every night kind of vibe.
Sure. when you pop in tonight, you like tell Nandi a little bit about your night. The spell caused beer, gave her like a couple tankards of ale. She hadn't tasted in a little bit. I was pretty grateful for that. And then put down your weapons. We need to do a little bit of sparring.
And Fiddles rolls over and sits up, and her shoulders are slumped, and she looks at Nandy, and she goes,
I guess. I just feel like my heart's not in it. I really wanted to, you know, fight that beholder. I just thought it looked fun.
Well, you'll get it next time. Doesn't sound like you've given up.
Yeah. You're
well,
right.
Make sure you're ready.
Fiddle stands up and throws her sword down and puts her dukes up. About to fight a god.
Fiddles, where does magic come from?
The heart of friendship.
No, it comes from the gut.
Oh, I like that.
Show me what you got. And she's like flexing her abs, ready for you to hit her there.
Fiddles winds up a full circle with her right arm and just slugs Nandy in the abs as hard as possible.
Yeah, I'd say you take 4 points of bludgeoning damage
yeah, right. from that hit. Her fingers are Looney Tunes mangled.
Like, all right, now I've been liking how you've been sending these Eldritch Blasts as like fists of magic. That
yeah.
rules.
Yeah, it's cool.
We're gonna do a little bit of training because I feel like you can get a little bit more out of it. And she'll just start like throwing weights and plates and everything that she has like up in the air as you do a little bit of target practice with it.
Yeah, Fiddle's just like pull, just blasting fists.
Okay, now it's your turn. You're gonna channel magic, and I'm gonna hit you in the gut.
Fiddles lifts her shirt and bites it like F-boys used to do on social media and like flexes her abs as hard as possible. And she's with the shirt in the mouth. She's like, am I carrying it?
Engage your core in everything that you do.
Fiddles' eyes go wide and the camera zooms in on her enlarged pupils and you see like a montage of every time she's ever done a sit-up in her life. So there's like 15 or so and yeah. like she's doing all 15 sit-ups and as the last sit-up happens, she sits up into the camera and her pupil from the past becomes her pupil from the present and she explodes with power from within her abdomen and where once she was wearing her pajamas, which are, of course, a generic comic book t-shirt and some shorts. Now she is still wearing that exact same thing, but just kind of shimmering a little bit.
I think Nandy winds up, perfect form, hits you in the abs, and you can hear like a metallic, like, clink, and you've learned 2 new invocations.
True. Yeah, we just took Agonizing Blast for our Eldritch Blast, which adds on top of the Genie bonus Agonize. 3 to every Eldritch Blast. We also are going to go ahead and add the 3 Charisma modifier to every Eldritch Blast as well, so that's an additional 6. And then also we just learned something called Armor of Shadows, which is an Eldritch invocation for Warlocks that allows me at will to cast Mage armor on myself, so I'll have to take my armor off, but that pulls my armor class up from a 14 to a 16.
That's cool.
Fantastic. Anything else you want to talk to Nandy about while you're down here?
Nandy, do you have any tips about boys? I'm just kidding. How do I kill a beholder? Can you imagine if I was like that first part?
Well, beholders can be difficult. Make sure that you watch all your surroundings because their layers, they use their little eye lasers to carve places where normal adventurers can't really go. Watch out for the lasers.
Yeah, this one's a zombie. Fire, maybe?
Yeah. Radiant would be better. It won't do more damage, but it'll keep it dead.
Radiant? Would be better. Noted.
All right, champ.
I think first thing in the morning, Fiddles would rifle through her inn room to see if there's a bedside Bible, and just start rubbing the sword of transmutation on the Bible to see if it turns holy.
It's like a morning meditations devotional.
By the power of Gideon.
And does it, and it does turn holy when I touch it too.
Yeah, you see the sword, Vial, your sword, all of a sudden has like script on it. Like it like
red letters
wiped off of the, yeah, like wiped off of the journal onto the sword, and it does radiant now.
It's just the lyrics to Flood by Jars of Clay. You can go ahead. You can
does paper damage.
off mic, you can send me the stats of a holy vial. Oh, right. And Fiddles is gonna put that Bible in her pocket for sure. Just keep that Bible with
you. Dude.
Good. I've been worried.
In case you need to rip a quick Quran. Yeah.
I've been worried about Fiddle's eternal soul for a couple episodes now, so this is good.
So has Nandy, I think.
All right. Glint. You mentioned that you wanted to draw a model of Davy's voice box.
Yeah, I think that after our little scene that Davy and I had a little while back where he sort of unhinged his jaw and showed me the dragon mark kind of glyph sign that's sort of powering the way that he speaks. It's forcing air through sort of mechanical vocal cords. Glint has been kind of like fixated on that as a mechanism that Davy evidently designed himself. This is not functionality that Glint built into Davy, but the mechanism by which Davy is now able to speak is very interesting to Glint.
Okay, good. So I think maybe before you take your long rest, that's probably, you would be aware, like, this is a good time to get this diagram fleshed out. You do so kind of without a ton of issue. Davy kind of helps you where he can. And
I imagine he's correcting some of the areas of my schematics that I can't quite see. You know, he's flipping the pencil over and erasing it and drawing it in himself.
Sure. And then this night, when you fall asleep, you are drawn to consciousness by, once again, a realistic dream where you are again Dale, who's looking into a mirror, and you can feel the airship is not moving underneath you. It seems that you've arrived to some sort of destination.
I'm going to try and find my first mate. I think I talked to a guy who was like the first mate or something last time I was in one of these King Dale on the magic boat visions.
Yeah, his name is Garrick Telford. He's an old halfling.
Sir Garrick, I require your presence.
Yes, my lord.
We both know the answer to this, but remind me, where are we?
And he'll extend his hand, and you see beyond the ship is a, on one side is a craggy labyrinth. It has lived up to its name. You are in the Demon Wastes, and you can see in the distance there are battles happening. On the other side is a mountain covered with forestry. And Garrick says, we are between the Demon Wastes and the Eldine Reaches, here for a council of people who might know a little bit more about our vampire issue.
Good. No, that's great. Sir Garrick, your logbook, please.
Yes, and he'll pull it from his pocket. It's just a little pocket notebook, and then hand it to you.
Do you mind if I write in this?
Of course, my lord.
Blank pages at the back, I'm assuming? You haven't finished it?
Yes, that'd be correct.
Okay, Glint's going to quickly flip to the back.
Only like the first three pages have anything in it.
Dear Garrick, today's going to be a great day. You've got this.
10 years ago.
2015. Glint's going to flip all the way to the back and very quickly try to, before it fades from his mind, sketch out the voice box diagram that Davy and he worked on before he went to sleep.
Okay.
Am I able to successfully do that?
I think so, yeah. It's probably not as precise as you'd like it if you're doing it quickly, but
sure,
you get
sure.
like definitely the main concept across.
Okay. This has to work. Okay. All right. Garrick, I require complete privacy, and as King, complete control over the resources of this ship. Is this something that you are willing to acquiesce.
Of course.
I'm going to remind you that you said that later. Okay, and he starts to direct Garrick in the voice box, walk him through the diagram of this voice box. And I'm going to play Calvin Ball with this voice box. It is vocal cords, I'm assuming, right? And we're on a ship with a ton of rigging and ropes. Is that correct?
Sure.
I would like to direct Garrick to direct my crew as King Dale to create a scale model of this voice box using the rigging and the masts as the different mechanical components of the voice box. I want to essentially turn the deck of the ship by stringing up all these ropes and nets and everything into a giant voice box.
He chimes in and is like,
Garrick, I'm going to remind you what you said. You said I could do whatever sure. I want, and I do have the metal hat with the spikes on it, and that makes me king, and I can't do it, right?
Of course, of course. I merely question if now is the best time to do it. We do have guests walking on in about 30 seconds, and you can see, like, down the ramp are two pretty distinct groups of orcs. One group is wearing pretty shamanistic clothing, and the other is clearly decked for war.
I tell you what, Garrick, I'll meet with our guests. You continue work on our top secret royal project that I only trust my closest advisor with.
He gives a bow and he starts directing the crew.
Okay, I'm gonna go see what's up with these orcs.
What up with all these orcs?
What's up with these orcs?
There is like a council room underneath the deck, and everybody heads into there, and you notice that one of the groups, the group from the labyrinth, does have someone in like a cloth hood that they are leading, hands tied behind their back.
Okay. Thank you for... I'm going to roll the dice. Thank you for responding so positively to my request for a council.
Yes, we've brought the prisoner per your request, and they pull off the hood, and you hear a hiss and a lunge as a vampire has been brought into your council room. There you go.
I see. How did you pick up this prisoner? What was our friend doing before you threw the hood on their head?
They've been consulting with some demons about making a ward. Obviously, that has some issues with how we run things out here, but it seems like they're trying to establish some kind of barrier. And the shamanistic group, one of them has been wearing this sort of like elaborate mask, and they take it off, and it is Lucius.
Okay.
It is interesting to find that you have discovered a vampire looking for a ward, as that is exactly what we found in our woods, was a vampire by the name of Tim Cannonfist, who has been seeking some sort of binding materials.
Hmm. Cannonfist. Yeah, that's, this is not, good. We don't like that they're doing this, right?
Absolutely. This has major implications on all of our domains.
Sure, sure. Certainly. Well, what do you propose we do, then? Knowing the presence of these vampires in each of our domains, how do we act quickly and decisively to secure the safety of our citizens?
I say we go on the offense. We can make our own wards against them, and then we can sort of push them into a corner of the world so that way they can't infiltrate us. Yeah, I see how that would work, but what would keep them from hopping planes?
Sure. Perhaps there is a way to contain the threat. Until the day that... Until the time comes that we find a way to eliminate it? Is that what we're advocating for here?
At least their leader. He seems bent on destruction. In fact, one of my scouts overheard that they've bound an angel in the Nightwood. And that has obvious threat level concerns that I think we should face head on.
Whatever the course of action, it is not one that we can undertake this night. In my royal opinion, we should move to first contain the threat, and then perhaps our minds, perhaps smarter minds that will come many generations later and have friendly little robots that they go on adventures with, will be able to solve this problem.
Contained, and one of the orcs pulls out a large wooden spear and just stabbed the vampire there.
Oh, you could do that too. You can do that too. Still a guy, still a person, and you did kill him on my boat, but you can do that too.
Threat's contained. All right, and then the warlike orcs are like, all right, everything's been said here, and they get up to leave. And
cool.
Lucius,
thanks for this.
Lucius stands up and goes to give you a handshake. And when you respond, he pulls you in and says, Dale, I overheard that Cannon Fist has begun to hunt those who've known him in the past. This ward should be at the top of your priority list.
It is a priority.
Yeah, I think Glint's a little out of his depth here.
It is a priority. He's still a guy, right? I mean, it's Cannon Fist, but it's still Tim, our friend.
I think that Cannon Fist is gone after he killed all of our crew and has begun a crusade to achieve some sort of vampiric domination. If he's looking to jump to other planes or ward people out from something important to him, I'm afraid of what that could mean.
As am I, Lucius. Thank you for letting me know.
Of course. And they will leave. When you go up, Garrick is doing his thing. He is like a full orchestra at work up there.
Okay. Glint can kind of like drop the King Dale act a little bit. As he's seen in previous visions, whenever he lets folks know that he's not actually Dale, it doesn't really go super great. And so Glint believes these visions are being shown to him. And I don't know that that's something that he's told any of you, but the content of the visions is too pertinent, too germane to our situation to believe this is truly coincidence. The fact that Lucius and Cannon Fist, the fact that our stories in the present are intertwined with these visions Glint is seeing of the past, feels like there's some kind of design to the visions. Glint also knows that the visions are coming from within his own mind. As far as he knows, he's not actually transported to these places for these visions. So whatever's creating the visions knows his mind intimately. Glint has just asked the crew of the ship to construct something that did not originate in his own mind. It originated in the mind of Davy. And so I would like, as Dale, to attempt to communicate with whatever force, whatever god, whatever energy is showing Glint these visions by passing air through this large voice box and causing the ship to speak to the vision giver. Can I do this?
Sure. what are you...
What's the name of that big old snake in God of War?
Right.
what is said as you shout to the heavens?
What the hell? Hey, what the hell? What's going on?
No, I think Glint is going to, as Dale, obviously use Dragonmark to cast a large amount of wind through this big voice box. And he's just going to say, you have my attention.
Can you please do the loud ship voice?
Yeah, it's going to be like a,
you have my attention.
Yes.
I think perhaps your, to your biggest dismay, you are not answered.
Okay, cool.
Maybe in frustration and maybe a lack of knowing what to do next, you retreat to your cabin where you're probably fingers on your, on the bridge of your nose, like frustrated. Pause in front of...
Who would sit like that right now?
Pause in front of the mirror. Maybe like you splash your water on your face and you notice whoever's on the other side of the mirror is not you. It's not Dale. It is Dale. But
not the Dale I'm controlling.
Right. And they say, "Who are you?" And you wake up.
Great. For my level up, I took Flash of Genius.
Flash of Genius. I thought that was real.
Flash of Genius means that I gain the ability to problem solve quickly and think under pressure. When myself or another creature I can see within 30 feet of me makes an ability check or a saving throw, I can use my reaction to add my intelligence modifier, which is a +5 to that roll, up to 5 times per day. You regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. So just a free little +5 boy.
That's very awesome. Good. Very good.
We're going to win all the trivia nights.
That's how you could raise money for that diamond, is just
pub trivia.
We're going to go.
We're gonna come by this honestly by using Glint's magic powers.
Okay. Ridley.
Sir.
I think as you retreat into your shell for your long rest, Genbu, first of all, you find yourself soaking wet and it smells like shitty beer. And you see Genbu standing on like an island in the distance as he's like, "Oh, hey, okay. Welcome back. It got a little flooded in here. You must have been up to something out there, huh?"
Yeah. Yeah, a little something. A little splash of the old days. I don't know. Sorry, let me, and then Ridley walks 3.5 minutes to get close.
Just like a shouting conversation until then.
Ridley's doing that thing where he tries to run in the water, but it's like thigh deep, so he doesn't really run very gracefully.
You know, I got a lot of time in here, so I did get you this. And he like kicks a shell that's been made with sandstone. It's like, I figured you were uncomfortable being naked in here for our training session, so
aww.
You can suit up.
As a good Catholic Christian, I gotta say, this is this actually means a lot. I feel known. Thank you. And Ridley puts on his undershirt.
I also noticed this this book, and it's the book you got from the library about the aquatic gods. Yeah, just know that if you ever have any questions, you don't have to waste your time reading or whatever. You could just ask me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, when you meet somebody and you're pretty sure later on that maybe they were famous, and so you Google them.
right.
So as not to appear uninformed, I Googled you. I just don't know what you mean. Like, why you're here. I'm super thankful. You gave me steam power. It's kind of nice. I don't really sleep anymore. I can just keep having meetings. That's good. But I don't know why. Why you? Why me?
Well, me, because it's like my eternal purpose to train heroes or whatever. Sorry, yeah. I don't control where the holy scale goes. It just kind of, you know, appears every 100, 200 years. You found it, so you get me until you accomplish some, like, divine task or whatever, and then I'll bounce. You'll have your shell all to yourself again. So I don't know. I don't know what that task is. Sounds like you're on, like, a mission or whatever, and so that's probably important. But until then, I guess we just train.
Yeah. No, you came with the scale, but well, you took the book, so I didn't get...
Oh, you can have it.
I didn't read the prologue.
No, you can have it. I don't need it.
What about before you were a scale? What was that like?
Well, you can see him kind of counting in his head. A couple thousand years ago or so, I was just like a sea turtle living in the ocean, and
Can you like Randy Newman in the background?
Yeah. And you know,
just a turtle.
Me and my pod of turtles came across a kraken that was doing some major harm, and so
y'all whistle at it? That works. You can do that.
Well, I drew my trident and killed it, and I guess the like cosmic beings that be decided to appoint me as some sort of hero, and the pod went back to the turtles and told their little turtles, and then you know, word just got out, and so that's just kind of how like the deity shit works. Like, people just find out about you and they're like, oh, I want to be like that guy.
Oh.
And so I'm sure like half of the stuff in that book is made up, but that's how stories work. And so now I'm just like, I just am, and I've just learned to accept that. So that's all about me.
That's pretty sweet. You're saying that if we could play this game, we play this game called Spikeball in like 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying I could become a god?
Yeah, yeah. Enough people hear about you, enough people tell their kids, and, you know, it goes on for a couple hundred years. Yeah, you could, if you get your numbers up.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that. I mean, this is kind of, it's cool to be on this side of this, but it's got to be weird being in here all
the time.
It
took a real long time to adjust. You know, like I said, I worked through it. You know, I tutored a hero who had some therapy experience, and, you know, it's just my life now.
Right on. Control what you can control, right?
That's right.
Attitude and effort.
So I figured tonight, with all this extra liquid in here, we'd do some training on incorporating steam into your fighting style, if you're okay with that.
Would love it. Beer steam.
Beer steam.
It's gonna get real stinky in here.
Sounds like a German heavy metal band.
Beer steam.
All right. Why don't you explain the mechanics of your level up?
So maybe at one point in the fighting... and in the training, we move to like a grapple section of the fight. So weapons are tossed, and we're in a close up grapple. And at some point, Genbu tries to get like a full lock on Ridley, and he just like a wet seal, just whoop, and just slips out of that lock, and Genbu cannot get a grip on him because
he got boneless.
I turned no bones, just a bat, just a goop. So level 7 paladin, no bones.
That's what it's about.
No, so level 7, I get another aura, and I took the aura of liberation, which means that as long as I'm conscious, not incapacitated, the folks around me within 10 feet, including myself, cannot be grappled or restrained.
Ooh, you got awesome.
And you ignore penalties on movement or attacks while underwater.
Mm. Wow.
Cool. Awesomeness.
That's cool.
That's really rad.
Very good.
So the beer steam forms into like little dolphin in keeping with the mist of all the sea animals. I think it's just dolphins. I can't decide what looks slipperier, dolphins or seals. It's one of them.
They both look pretty slippery.
They're pretty slippy, both of them. Both make fun sounds.
Like when you put your hand up your own shirt, like the back of your shirt on a summer day, and it's all slippery back there.
Flop sweat.
Such a specific example.
This feels like a wet seal.
You just wipe moisture off your skin.
Everything but water, you know?
Butt water.
Nice.
Everything like butt water. You know what I'm saying?
Butt water.
And that's what leveling up is all about.
That's what it's all about.
But that's it. And then Ridley fires off just a second or an additional second level spell into the sky.
I could do this now.
It's an extra spell slot.
Got three.
Another one.
Okay.
He pulls out his Desert Eagle.
Ridley casts Bullet.
All right. Well, Sue, ending with you, I know that Sue has been studying some new ways to cook and to last fight. We're a little bit frustrated about the damage you were doing.
Sue can't do much damage at all. It's real sad. She feels very bad about it.
So why don't you walk us through what happens in your long rest?
I think Sue is kind of sitting on the end of their bed. And I don't know about y'all, but like, do you ever like fidget with your rings?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just kind of spinning the ring around their finger. And she kind of looks down at it and just says, well, now it ain't proper to keep secrets from your own finger, is it? And they're just kind of talking to it. They don't expect a response. And I think they're just kind of musing is maybe the right word. I don't rightly know what you are, and I don't know why you came to me. Maybe you're a guardian, maybe you're something else. But I know that I saw you, or I didn't see you. Donnie saw you. And so there's got to be a connection. You saved him. Kind of like I try to save people, so I'm hoping it's something good. But you did it better. You did it right. I feel like I just, you know, I'm not afraid of fire. I know that I've got some history with it, but it's not really the fire that I fear. It's doing something wrong when I'm trying to do something right. And again, they're just kind of musing and chatting to their ring as they're trying to figure out what they can do to better help in those situations. Does anything happen?
I think after you sort of focus in again, after you've mused a little bit, you would look around and see that there are small, little, like, glowing serpentine spirits, like, around your room, who, after you maybe noticed, like, Fiddles had, or after you noticed Snaps had gone through your stuff, are, like, tidying up, you know, like, putting your clothes in, like, a color-coordinated order. And there's, like, some trash on the counter that they spin around and it just disappears.
Does it feel like something that if she looks too closely, they'll disappear? Like one of the things that you kind of look at out of the corner of your eye? Or do they feel pretty substantial?
They feel visually spiritual, but enough that you could control them to some extent.
I think they'll watch for a few moments, and then if one kind of comes up maybe near her feet, just say, well, howdy there. Do y'all have names?
As it gets closer, I think you would tell that this is like a tiny little, it's like a small glowing coatl. It seems to be like a manifest of just like your natural magical ability. And it seems that as you've mused on your ring, you've used that to concentrate on like, and subconsciously, it's began to like clean up things that were maybe bothering you.
Okay, because I know one of Sue's mark of hospitality is like unseen servant. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's like a manifestation through that is. Okay. Do I get anything else from the ring? Any?
I think you would feel a sort of like comfort. more than you normally would, just from like talking to yourself. I think if you were like hard pressed by somebody, you'd be pretty convinced that like something is paying attention to you.
Mm.
It's just been difficult making it manifest.
Okay.
And I think one of them, actually, I'd say like all of them start spinning around and head and like are pointing towards the window. Like they start heading over towards the window. And when you look over, you see that there is a vampire floating outside your window. It's like
again
levitating. Gosh. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I think Sue will kind of do a deep intake, a gasp. I don't think they were prepared for that. Does she recognize this vampire? Is it the same vampire from before?
It is not. This vampire has metallic tendrils for hair and a mechanical hand, and they have a box in their hand.
So the other side is now trying to woo Sue. So woo Sue. I was trying to come up with another rhyming word and I couldn't come there. couldn't figure it out. A woo Sue party. Can I roll insight? See if they feel malicious in nature?
Sure.
Wusu Ku?
I did crit fail, but my halfling lets me not crit fail, but it still wasn't much better. That was 9 plus 6 for a 15.
Great. I think you would remember that you recently made like a truce with the Oil Sworn that they wouldn't come after you. And I think you would notice that your spirit friends are getting pretty restless. Like they like want to be let out a little bit.
All right. I hear you. And kind of like she's talking to, you know, dogs or something on a farm. She'll open the door to let them out and greet the vampire.
They are like slowly spinning around the vampire. And the vampire smiles, says,
I have brought a gift from our master after we heard about your conversation with our colleague. Hope you accept it.
Well, it ain't proper that I don't know your name, but you know mine.
I am William.
William, pleasure to meet you. And why am I receiving a gift?
It is mainly because we are interested in you joining our forces, if it is something you would like to do. Of course, because of our recent truce, I will not, we will not be aggressive. And so take this gift. It is for your whole group, if anyone wants to accept, particularly that glint would be interesting to us. But of course, do not let me interfere with the rest of your night.
I'm just rightly curious, because I've got a lot of vampires interested in me recently. This is maybe my third offer to become a vampire. I'm not really sure why. Could you offer a little insight into why me?
Well, we have drawn interest to you because of your connections to the city, as well as some of your natural abilities, and we recently found a vampire who seems to be the beneficiary of that, and I must be honest, we are a little jealous.
Ah, that leadhead. He's always talking me up to everybody. So it's just my good cooking and my good looking?
We think you would be a prime candidate for the Oil Sworn, yes.
All right. I guess I'll bid you good night and see you on another time.
Of course. And he will pretty gently just like leave the box on the windowsill, and he floats backwards and waits for you to open it.
Oh, am I supposed to open it in front of you? That does make me a little nervous. I always feel like I gotta have, like, the appropriate reaction, you know?
Don't worry. Don't worry about pleasing me. I just need to confirm that you opened the package.
Well, that is an interesting way to put that. And Sue will very carefully, like, kind of crack open the lid of the box.
You see some wires sticking out.
They will open it a little bit further.
Inside of the box is the head of the vampire that your group made an agreement with.
Oh.
And I think as you are startled, you're like, increased emotions cause these spectral coatles to flow around faster. And something magical is like calling to you right now.
From the ring?
From the ring, and it seems to be mingling with your like inner talents.
What do I feel compelled to do?
Make the vampire go away.
Wonderful. I think Sue will, maybe it's as just a shock reaction to seeing a head in a box. They will instinctively use one of their new spells. So one of the spells that Sue took at 7th level, because that's kind of all Sue gets is new spells, is a 4th level spell. And I am... No, is it 4th level? Yes. Guardian of Faith. And so maybe just instinctively cast Guardian of Faith.
These coatles sort of like combine into one big one and just chomp down on that vampire. You can like hear its legs hit the ground below you.
Oh, so it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, William.
Sorry.
wow. Okay. Do they disperse after that or do they stick around?
They stick around for a moment if you have something you wish to say or do.
I think maybe just try and make eye contact and see if they feel like they are responsive to me. Like, is it a sentient creature that I have experienced before, or is it just a magical recreation of them?
It is more of like a manifestation of the real creature you've seen before.
Okay.
But it does like make eye contact with you. You do feel warmth from it. But it does not have anything to communicate.
Okay. Then I think Sue would just say, well, I'm right glad you're here. And gingerly kind of with like one finger shut the lid to the box. I don't think that Sue would chase or like wake everyone up to explain this. It didn't seem like they were malicious or hostile to us in the moment, and so...
It's going to be a nightly occurrence, it seems like, anyway. How often are we going to...
Apparently. Apparently.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I think Sue will just kind of maybe throw a blanket over it so that they don't have to look at it while they try to fall asleep.
Sure. Well, everybody gets their long rest. In the morning, when you go downstairs, Clint, the barkeep... Like,
oh boy.
Glint, shady looking fella came in here, left this note for you this morning.
Clint, cool name. What's the note say? Actually, just give it to me. I'll read it.
I just dropped it to you in Discord.
It's like a 4D ride.
I got a text.
Okay. Esteemed Glint, by decree of High Executive Merity Bramblecrank, Sovereign Director of Oasis Quantum, you are hereby formally summoned to attend a closed council regarding matters of substantial arcane and geopolitical significance. The meeting shall be held in the Ruby Hall of Accord atop the Tower of Crystals in Gatherhold proper. Your presence is both requested and and recommended, as your insight into the war forgery progression is deemed of critical import. Ceremonial attire is expected. Oh, no. You guys don't think the jersey counts. However, you are permitted to bear your ancestral attire and weapons, provided they remain sheathed within the hall. Please respond by bonded courier hawk or with accompanied whisper stone that appropriate arrangements may be made in tooth and fang. Merity Bramblecrank, and signed, of course, with all of her epithets. Wow.
Oh, and these two as well. And he pulls out two boxes, one big, one little. And inside one is the automaton of a hawk. And in the other is a stone.
Fiddles, I know you wanted to fight a beholder, but a meeting with a bunch of old guys.
Yeah, this seems great.
Oh, it's a science conference. It's much more interesting.
Right up your alley, yeah.
I didn't hear anything about a plus +5, so I guess... Yeah. Guess we don't get to go. Right. Bummer.
Interesting. Wow.
Dibs on the rock.
Well, we have to go.
Yeah. You have to go. I didn't hear anything about your friends going. Sort of feel like...
Well, this will be my last episode of Imagine Dungeons, and I'm spinning off into my new show, Glint and His Science Friends.
Bazinga!
See, like, one thing falls out of the box, and it's like a +5 token.
Oh, thank God. I thought I was going to have to go alone. Aren't you so excited?
Fiddles hits her knees and screams up at the ceiling of the...
Right.
No!
Do you bring the head down, Sue?
Yeah, I think Sue was trying to decide if it was appropriate to make a quip about like a 5 1/5 people and open the box.
Let's do a quick head count.
Something along those lines. Speaking of heads, I got another visitor last night, and they left us a little gift and then were promptly eaten by our good Quaddle friend. Sue will just kind of like gingerly open up the box and say, I don't rightly know what this means.
Oh, my.
Because this was also brought to us by an oil-sworn vampire. So I don't know where our truce stands at this moment. But it ain't looking good to me.
No, it's not. Donnie's like holding the head up and like looking closer, like maybe even nose to nose. He's like, this one looks familiar.
Yeah, I believe that's our good friend that we encountered down and made the original deal with.
Ah.
May, I believe her name was.
Well, I guess the deal might be off. No.
It may be off. I'm sorry, that was in poor taste. I really didn't sleep well last night.
Phil's hold out a low five for Sue.
So we get to deal with that too. Just putting that out there.
Everything's coming up
I imagine in the middle of all this bad news would be when what's his face comes downstairs.
Snaps.
When Snaps comes downstairs in a full suit with like a bouquet of flowers ready to apologize.
And he's wearing like a bowler hat.
So cute.
And he stands on the stage where Donnie typically performs, and he takes his hat off and sort of rings it in his hands and is like, I learned that it is not okay to go through everybody's stuff without asking, and so I just wanted to say that I am sorry and that I will make everybody a big breakfast tomorrow to make up for it.
Apology accepted, little man. And she's kind of like wiping her eye at how cute
really
he is.
Very kind of you.
Ridley's in the back, but he's kind of like standing. He's like trying to mime, like stand up taller, back straighter.
Fiddles shakes, snaps his hand.
Like he's still
and,
coaching.
Like, bro hugs, and then in his ear is like, "I'll teach you how to leave no trace later."
That's perfect. Oh man.
Does the bowler hat still have like a little snapback section?